Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 9th day of April, 2010. USDA has updated the supply and demand figures for the nation and the globe. We'll find out if anything has fundamentally changed today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with MF Global's Joe Vaklevic. Our panelists today in studio are Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
USDA did release its latest WASDE figures on Friday morning of this past week. It shows now corn carryout for the United States at 1.899 billion bushels, soybeans at 190 million bushels, and the wheat carryout at 950 million bushels. When you saw those numbers on Friday morning, what was your first reaction, Dan Zwicker?
Generally positive because they weren't bearish. I guess that's the way I term it. Most of the bearishness from the larger stocks numbers was priced into the market, and the supply-demand revisions just kind of cleaned up some of the noise from those reports.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. Mike Georgie is with Allendale.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. The average guesses for everything was higher than what they came out. So overall, it was a bullish report. It didn't add more negativity to the market, that's for sure.
And Matt Bennett is with Total Grain Marketing.
Well, I'd have to agree with these two guys. I think whenever you look at it and we're actually looking at numbers that aren't going to drive the market substantially lower, I think, you know, several people that I talked to were a little bit wary. Maybe they're going to go ahead and actually add a little more carry out. But I was happy to see that, especially going into the planting season. It's nice to see a little bit of something good come out.
Feed and residual use for corn did come down by 100 million bushels. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I know, feed usage I can see. I know livestock numbers haven't exactly been strong, but I think, you know, whenever we look at residual usage, I think with the ethanol, I hope to see maybe a 15% number come out here where maybe we can chew up a little bit more than what we have been. I know it's going to take a little time to implement that, and there might be some problems that come along with that, like, you know, the extra fuel pump that people have been talking about. But, you know, it'd be nice to see that come out in June, and I think maybe we will chew through a few more bushels.
From the corn pit this week, May futures had a high of $3.59, a low at $3.43¾. The settlement price, a penny and a quarter higher at $3.45¾ for the lead option May. December contract, a settlement on the week at $3.78¾. The trade changed from Friday to Friday just by a penny and three quarters to the upside. How technically does this marketplace look for you?
Corn is still counter-seasonal, when you're in a counter-seasonal move, you have to be braced for some pretty powerful movement in that direction. In this case, we are down. So I think corn is still very vulnerable to the downside.
What kind of objective do you have?
Well, we're going to take one step at a time. I don't necessarily think the market is going to fall off the cliff. I think in the short run, there might even be reason to believe that there could be a little follow-through from the sharp short-covering rally that we had there on Tuesday. But I think ultimately, As we go on into a summer low, we're going to be down into that 320, 310 area.
You agree?
Well, I think our early spring objective here in the Dease has been hit. We said it was going to be 370. We got down to 375. So I think we do have a bounce here, depending on weather for planting and things like that.
Can the farmer on the end of the panel over here see that low a number that Dan talked about?
Well, I think it's certainly possible. I'm usually pretty bullish, as you know, but whenever we look at the way this spring is starting in the eastern Corn Belt, it appears that we may have a window of weather that will be conducive to guys doing a lot of the work that needs to be done. I've said all along I was a little bit concerned, you know, basically because the way the ground was left this past fall and the lack of anhydrous that's been put on. But if the weather will cooperate in the areas it needs it most, and I think the areas it needs it most would be in the eastern Corn Belt, you know, I think that there certainly is a possibility acreage could grow. And if acreage grows, then I think that what Dan's saying is certainly possible.
In Shelby County, have you been in the field yet?
Yeah, just minimally. And I think that within the next 2 to 3 days, there'll be a lot of planting done. And just, you know, the weather's been a little spotty, but there will be a lot of areas in central Illinois that guys will be farming. I saw a guy planting corn on the way up today, actually. So
That would be for new crop. How about producers? Are they worried about old crop in the bin still?
I think several guys are worried about their old crop in the bin. Are you talking about the condition of it or the price of it?
Both.
A little bit of both, of course. And I think, you know, we've been talking about this. We've talked about this on here a couple of times. You know, there's a lot of corn that's sitting in the bin that's still 18, 19, 20%. And, man, I'd be wanting to get it out of there with the weather heating up. But,
yeah,
you know, price-wise, yeah, they've seen a lot of prices go by them. And I think knowing how much corn there is yet to move to market, I'd sure be worried about it.
So they heard a number from you, probably scared the dickens out of them. Are you wanting to cash in old crop?
I don't think my number scared them. I think they've heard enough of those numbers around. You didn't have to drive very far this winter to go find a bearish outlook speaker if you wanted to find one. So, but there's no doubt that, you know, if we're going to try to rally at this point, it's going to have to come from another source in the supply and demand balance sheet of corn. I mean, we're going to have a strong break to the downside and the dollar to maybe fluff up some short covering. We may have to get into some planting delays. So we're going to have another factor, I think, to come up. But that's the big fear is that there's a lot of corn that needs to move into the channels, and we're going to get it ourselves into a funneling situation similar to what we were a few years back during the pick-and-roll days when everybody wanted to clean their bin during August. We pushed a bunch of inventory into the market in a 30-day window. I have a sneaky feeling we're setting ourselves up for something like that, but I think it's going to come in June. I think it's going to come after planting, after everything's planted. I think maybe the throwing in the towels are going to happen.
Mike, Dan says that something has to happen in order to lead corn maybe higher. Are there some numbers from the wheat that would be helpful? Exports were up 40 million bushels, feed up 10 million bushels. World wheat supplies down just slightly.
Well, I think that's right. I think definitely the wheat supply is going to make a difference. But, you know, we do export 50% of our wheat. We need to keep our exports high, you know, as well as corn, too. We had a good export number this week. And maybe the prices are low enough that we can get some exports going here, which could help the price as well.
You think on the global side that I'm not going to call it a shorter wheat crop, but the numbers were better. Is it good enough to pull? Wheat's awfully low priced.
Wheat,
is it good enough to, for
but
lead,
we're
wheat
still
to,
priced out of the market. When we go to any exporter goes to a wheat tender to try to sell some wheat, there's somebody there that's going to beat the U.S. market. However, you know, there is some demand, and the U.S. is catching some of the market. USDA acknowledges that here today. By raising their export projection. But the overall domestic supply and the world supply is just very burdensome at this point. And again, weather is still a key factor in this wheat crop, but the western wheat crop is excellent shape. We don't know exactly what size of crop we're going to have here in the soft red winter wheat areas. But there's a chance that the market could stabilize in here for a while.
You're far enough south. You should see some wheat fields around you. Do you at all?
Not very many. There's
very
few wheat fields out there, and I think, you know, a couple of the processors in our area are a little bit worried about originating the wheat.
That'd be for the soft red. Wheat futures, by the way, ended this week for soft red in Chicago with a 479 and 3/4 cent top, a bottom at 447. And the May finished 11 cents higher than it did last week at $4.65 and 3/4. July, a 479 and a quarter settlement price, up 10 and 3/4. Soy complex now, May beans, $9.64 the high, the low at 932 and 3/4. Settlement price at $9.52 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter. November beans at $9.36 and a half, up 10 and 3/4. Exports in the beans were up, 25 million bushels this week. Residual, though, down 26 million. What do you think about those numbers?
Well, I think it was certainly nice to see, you know, that maybe you're still going to keep the bean situation fairly tight, because maybe that's the one thing that you can argue if you're wanting to be not negative beans, because I certainly am not positive to the bean market. And I think mostly because of the glut of beans that will be on the world market. And I maybe we're going to be a little short going into fall. I'm still worried about maybe potential cancellations, which wouldn't be the first time we've had those. I think that bean acreage will still be ample. So, you know, I can't get real friendly to the bean market, but I guess that was nice to see today.
Well, nice to see. We still have 190 million bushel carryout. Do you call that a tight supply going in or not, given the size of the South American crop?
Given that, no. But, I mean, historically, as far as the carryout goes, it's fairly tight, and the stocks to use would be fairly tight. I don't know. I think that whenever you look at the great, great picture, it's not tight at all. I'm definitely not friendly to the bean market.
How about you? Where do you see this?
Well, I think the bean market has some stability. I mean, the U.S. supply of wheat is 21 days now compared to 17 days last year. I think the 200 million mark is a number that they were afraid of. If it would have came in at 209, we would have been very bearish beans. But if we're at 190 and we keep getting some decent exports every week, you know, we could be like last year. We've got a tight supply going into fall, and if there's some weather concerns a bean crop, there could be an upside, and quite a bit one.
The 209 that he mentioned is the average trade guess for carryout at the end of the year. You're kind of smiling over here. What do you have to say about the bean market?
The only thing I have on the bean market is that I have a technical trading system that's long the market. It's got long a couple weeks ago, but it just scares the death out of me when I look at the fundamentals. But I guess you have to be a pure technical trader, trend following system. But fundamentally, I think what's holding a lot of these beans up is the Argentina soybean farmer is storing beans. He's putting them in big plastic bags, and we're going to see what happens as we go down the road. So the supplies are out there right at the moment. The inventory from South America is not necessarily flowing into the market as quickly, and that's allowing the U.S. to pick up a little export business, and USDA acknowledged that.
Is storage a different sort of thing happening in Argentina? Is that a recent development? Did they not store very much before?
I would say it's more recent, but it's, you know, they're always squabbling with their government with the export tax, and, you know, that gives them reasons to dig their heels in and try to get some higher prices to maybe offset some of that export tax.
All right. As you advise producers who call and talk to you, who probably have decisions that they can still make about acreage this year, the planters have not rolled. They probably haven't put anhydrous or chemical on. Which way should they put acres in a shift?
Well, that's a hard one. My guess is if we go ahead and have a fairly normal spring, what it's shaping up, I'm not too sure I know what normal is, but corn acres are going to grow. But if we would ever get any kind of problem, soybean acres would grow at the tail end. But for now, I think corn acres are going to grow.
And that's what your advice would be?
They have to protect. I mean, I think we're in a 12-month window in here that we do definitely have some downside price vulnerabilities, and they need to have a risk management plan in place. As I've said before, some of my cyclical work says we could be going into a summer low. Completely counter-seasonal, and then maybe this market might want to turn up and try to strengthen into the fall. But if you have a crop made, that upside strength will be somewhat limited.
Yeah, it's a tough question because I think it's completely producer specific. If you've got a guy that has standing stalks, if you will, you know, that makes it a little more tough. You know, if he's wanting to go corn on corn, if he's a traditional corn on corn guy, a lot of these guys have been saying, you know what, with beans, fall beans at $9, why wouldn't I go ahead and work my ruts out and plant beans? So I think that's been the mentality going in. But certainly, as Dan said, good weather changes everything. And if the planter's rolling and things are going well and a guy's got a chance to put an extra 80 in the ground, I think it's a good idea. But as Dan said, I'd certainly be putting some sort of a pricing mechanism in place because, you know, sell some insured bushels, if you will. Whatever you do, there's still profitability left.
Let's take a look at some of the rest of the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this week. Futures from the CME Group on the livestock side, April live cattle. A high of $100.20, a low at $96.80. Settlement price at $99.65. They were up $3. April feeders at $114.52.5, up $4.15. April lean hogs this week, $77.95. The top, the bottom at $75. And a settlement price at $76.22.5, up $2.10. When we return, we'll talk with Joe Vaklovic. He's with MF Global in Chicago.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first week in April was typically changeable across the state of Illinois. Very warm weather early in the week flipped to cooler than normal weather by the end of the week, with yet more changes in the offing. Temperatures were much above normal this week, ranging from around 6 degrees above normal in western Illinois to a whopping 12 degrees above normal in eastern Illinois. High temperatures on Tuesday reached the low and mid-80s in central and southwestern portions of the state. Record highs were tied that day in Springfield and Champaign-Urbana. A strong cold front brought thunderstorms, some severe weather, heavy rain, and a change to much colder weather. Rainfall for the week was above normal across the entire state and as much as 3 to 5 times normal in parts of western and northwestern Illinois. There was even some snow late Wednesday in northern Illinois, but that all melted. Fortunately, the rain this week was preceded by several days of warm, dry weather. Other than a chance for some scattered showers in the northern half of Illinois Sunday into Monday, next week looks to be dry and warm, which should rapidly improve field conditions around the state. Temperatures next week will remain well above normal once again. The next chance for any significant widespread rainfall appears to be late next weekend. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 9th day of April, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, and Matt Bennett of Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, all in Illinois. Joe Vaklovic is our guest. He's located at the Chicago Board of Trade and with Advantage Grain. It's a specialized division of MF Global, focusing exclusively on the grain and livestock markets. They provide services to customers in every spectrum of the agricultural sector and believe that their versatility and knowledge of grain market fundamentals make them an easy choice for grain producers and end users and speculators. Thanks for being with us, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Todd. It's good to be back on the show.
One of the same places that I picked up your bio told me where you folks were in terms of your 2010 cash positions. 20% sold on Dease corn at $4.45, 20% sold on November beans at $10.05, and new crop. It didn't tell me about your old crop sales. Where are you?
Old crop sales, you know, we have to be honest with you, we didn't start keeping track real closely until this year just because we have so many guys who are doing so many different things. But, you know, if you want to look at where, you know, a guy is on old crop sales, I know that there's a lot of people out there holding on to what they would probably view as being too much corn right now. I think that that's maybe one of the kind of pressing issues to this market and why we can't get any kind of bull run going right now.
As a retired advisor, I guess I want to ask people that are advising farmers on grain, why is a farmer holding so much corn?
Well, I think a lot of this, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I think a lot of this goes back to, you know, just the high prices we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, if a farmer played his cards even partially right, you know, the last, like I said, 3 or 4 years, they could have made a lot of money in this corn market. And I think that there just seems maybe to be a little less urgency to sell right now. Maybe guys are sitting in a little bit better financial situation than they were in the past. And I know that's not true for everybody, but I think that might be part of it.
Well, these market advisory services, are they holding a lot of grain? I know there's a couple of them that maybe still be holding 70% of their old crop inventory.
Yeah, I don't think I talked to anybody who's holding on to that much. But, you know, it's definitely a lot easier for guys to do so. I can't speak for other marketing services, but, you know, there's definitely still some moves you can make right now to help yourself out with these old crop positions. You know, one thing that I've been telling guys in particular is, you know, if you want to sell the stuff, the value of call options especially has dropped drastically over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Volatility levels have come off a little bit, and it's getting a lot cheaper to re-own corn if you're really worried about it.
Yeah, is owning corn worthwhile? I mean, I think the thing that everybody's been talking about out there is the test weights for corn. We didn't think we were going to have this big a crop. Is that going to come out someday, or does the government have it right that test weights were light and we still had this huge crop?
I don't know. That's tough to say. I mean, I don't deny for a second that the corn crop was out there. If anything, I think it could be bigger than what we've got penciled in here. So, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be an issue or not. I doubt the crop's really much lighter than they say it is, I guess.
Joe, in reference to our earlier question, I don't know if you're listening, but if a guy was going to push his corn acreage, we were talking about making sales. And as Todd said, you're 20% sold on your new crop. What do you think the risk is for you, you know, advising clients of only being 20% sold? Do you see much potential for downside, for instance, if the spring weather would be good enough to, you know, entice more acreage?
Well, the way I see it here, I mean, we're sitting here early April. I mean, the average producer's got a lot more storage these days. I think that you've still got a real long time to make your decisions here. I find it real difficult to believe that we're not going to have any rally that we can sell into this corn market within the next, you know, 10 to 12 months. And obviously, depending on the specific, you know, individual, there might be a little bit more urgency here. But I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that I've got a lot of time. It's not September now, it's early April. There's a lot that can happen. I know that, you know, everybody that I hear everywhere when reading, you know, any kind of research that's published or anybody I talk to around this building, most guys are so bearish this stuff they can't see straight right now. And that doesn't mean it's going higher. It could very well go lower. But I've got to think that there's going to be some kind of turnaround here in the next 5 to 6 months.
You must not be nearly so satisfied with the soybeans because you're looking for, what, a 15-cent jump, 14-cent jump, and you're going to push yourselves to 40% sold. Can you justify the bean sale against the corn sale?
Yeah. Here's my thought on beans. I think the spread, take a look at the bean spreads here. You know, if you look at old crop versus new crop spreads, we have held up pretty well. I think that, as you guys touched on earlier, I do think that we're going to run into some supply tightness here over the summer. You know, there's a reason why no beans are trading at 25 cents, or why July beans are trading 25 cents over November's, and we're not, you know, trading the other way around here. I think we're going to run into some supply issues. At the same time, you know, looking at the wires today, the Argentina soybean crop is 28% harvested. That stuff's going to start to come online. And I think we're looking at a real huge crop there, which I know you guys touched on, and I don't really think is super debatable right now. I think that overall acreage may increase, you know, from here to the final. I think corn acreage and bean acreage could both increase. I think it's very possible, given the weather that we're looking at right now. So, yeah, I'm a little bit more skeptical on new crop beans in particular than I am on corn. I think corn may have a little bit better story here longer term.
As you look at USDA's planting intentions numbers and the current weather forecast, projected supplies and that, what kind of downside price objectives are you thinking are possible here over the next 6 months?
Well, if you look at, you know, planted corn acreage, they're looking for, what do we got, 86.5 million. You know, I don't know. I remember going into that report, everyone was going to think we were going to be a lot higher than that. I do believe, like I said, that that corn acreage number in particular could grow. And I think that if we get, you know, something like that on the June report, that could be a pretty big blow to the market. I also think that there are going to be some demand things that are going to come into play here real quickly. You know, the big story that came out on Wednesday up here on that corn rally was that China was applying for some licenses to import corn. Now, that was the big rumor that started the rally, and that's one of the big reasons we saw that short covering. And actually, open interest on that day was up a good 15,000 contracts, I think. But, you know, if you start seeing things like that where, you know, corn demand starts increasing a little bit, I really do think we're going to get, you know, we're going to have to maybe up these export numbers, maybe up these feed usage numbers a little bit. And I know that feed usage number is down today, and I know a lot of people think it's going to be down on the next report. But overall, I wouldn't be surprised to see both of those numbers higher, you know, come fall.
Do you see a potential for old crop beans to even move higher since, you know, everybody was telling their producers to sell $10 beans earlier in the year? We're going to have a big Brazilian crop. Do you see a possible tightness in the domestic beans here where we could, you know, work higher, maybe even close to $10?
I think it's possible. I know a lot of guys in Chicago here that do a lot more work in the bean spreads than I do that think that these old crop, new crop spreads could go to an inverse of well over a dollar. You know, thinking that maybe no beans should be down around 9 or maybe lower, and you know, the July is up around 10. So, yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, you know, 190 carryout, you know, is sizable, but, you know, 190 isn't what it used to be. You know, stocks to usage isn't, you know, it's kind of tight here. And I do think that you could see a move here. And the market itself is telling you that it doesn't want to go down. I mean, you know, everyone's been bearish here for a while, but the market hasn't made a new low here in several weeks. I think it's just as easy to be bullish beans, especially old crop, as it is to be bearish right now.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
And Joe Vaclavic of MF Global's Advantage Grain. We appreciate his time. Now a final word from our panelist in studio.
Yeah, going into spring, I'd just like to see everyone have a safe spring and be careful out there.
Matt Bennett, of course, is with Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois. Mike Georgie is with Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois.
Yeah, same here. Spring's going to be a busy time. We kind of want to get it in the ground quick, so be careful.
And Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois.
I got to go along with the other two. Play it safe. It does look like the planning window is going to be much wider this year than what we've had the last couple of years, so don't get in too big a rush.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can also always access Commodity Week online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, Commodity Week, the pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports, updates at midday, and a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. If you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe. One other note on the newsletter, if you give us your cell phone number when you subscribe on USDA report days, we will text the numbers to you not long after the reports are released. It's a great service. It's all free, and it's all at willag.org, willag.org. One other note, if you can't listen to us on the radio and you can't get to the website, try dialing this number for daily updates just after the opens and just after the close. The number is 217-333-3434. A bit of analysis and either the opening or the closing numbers posted at about 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time. Thanks for listening to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.